Cairo, Seattle.
It's time to get schooled with a professor, John Clayton.
Welcome to Schooled with the Professor. You know, it's fun now because you can see football is all ready to start exploding again because, you know, you had a supplemental draft this week. You've got franchise tags that are going to be determined as far as what's who's going to get long-term deals. And there's going to be action, and there's going to be action on the football field coming up this Saturday. It's going to be in Indianapolis. It's the American Flag Football League, and kind of great to see some of the great names that are going to be in that game and the competition. And joining us right now in Schooled with the Professor is Fred Jackson, former NFL running back, who was here with the Seahawks for a brief stay. And Fred, kind of take us through what this is going to be, because number one, you know, not only is this going to be flag football, but it's going to be flag football that you can watch because it's going to be on the NFL Network.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we've had the tremendous opportunity of teaming up with the NFL Network and broadcasting it for us. It's just another way for guys to get out and compete and, you know, compete at a high level against guys who did it, who played football and played well in the National Football League. So I know a lot of the guys on the American side of the bracket are looking forward to showcasing their skills when they compete against whoever wins from the pro side of the bracket. So it's just going to be a lot of fun to get out there and run around and play a game that we've loved to play since kids, and this is just another opportunity for us to do so.
So there's going to be two games that's going to be on the weekend, and it's going to be a winner-take-all $1 million ultimate final that's going to be on Thursday, July 19th. So you got some good money involved and also some really good athletes and good players.
That's just it. You know, it's anytime you put $1 million up to win, you're going to bring out the best of the best in the flag football field. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I know my teammates, we're all excited about it. We get to face a great opponent this weekend, and Seneca Wallace and his team and Team Godspeed, the numbers that they put up last week and the way that they played and performed together, you can tell that they're a well-oiled machine. So it'll be a tough match for us, and you know, hopefully we can pull out the W against them, and the amateur side is going to be a great game to watch as well.
Of course, I mean, the great part is that you have Chad Ochocinco that's going to be really, that's the name of the team. It's Team Ocho is what it's called, with Ochocinco being out there.
It is, and, you know, he's always been entertaining. He's always been a character, and nothing's changed. And he's a great guy to have on the team. He always keeps it light, makes sure we're having fun out there, and that's just it. You know, we do this. We show up to do it because we love to do the game, and we always have had fun doing the game and playing the game, so. This is, like I said, another opportunity for us to do so.
Well, I guess the great part about it is that I mean, you've already had one game and you scored two touchdowns. Kind of take us through. And also, how is Michael Vick as a coach?
Man, it's fun to be out there and play with a guy like Vick. You know, one of the things that he brought to the table was he kind of revolutionized the game the quarterback position with the way that he can beat you with his feet. To be able to be on the other side of that, on the defensive side of the ball, preparing for Mike Vick, I can understand why defensive coordinators had nightmares before they played him, because that guy's just a lot of fun to be around. And as a coach, one of the things about him is he's so laid back, and he just loves to go out and play the game like a kid. It made you want to do everything you could for him. So I know those guys, they showed up and they fought hard for him, and it was fun to compete against him. So, you know, hopefully we can see him out here doing it again next year.
Well, of course, I mean, when you came into the league, he was already in the league. But, I mean, you had a whole generation of young football players that just admired what Michael was able to do, to run around and to, you know, throw the ball downfield 60, 70 yards, to be able to run as quick as he can. I mean, he was such an inspiration for what I think a lot of quarterbacks would want to be.
Yes, and that's just it. You know, even playing against him last week, it was still one of those things where, you know, you're competing against him, but you can't wait to see what he does. And he still has that same kind of mantra about him. You know, there was a few times that we were playing against him, and he took off, and, you know, I was still kind of in awe waiting to see what it was he did with his feet. And, you know, he's still a lot of fun to watch, even though he's not out on the field full time.
Yeah, talk a little bit about your team, because you got Dennis Dixon, Gerard Johnson, cornerback Brandon Boykin, Jeremy Ross. How good is this team?
Oh, man, we like our chances. You know, I think one of the things about us is we really like our defense, you know, with the guys that we have playing at safety, and Deion Bailey and Duke Iheanacho, and having Brandon Boykin at corner, Elbert Mack at the other corner. You know, things like that. And you plug a guy like Chad in at corner too, who he feels like he can play every position on the field. We just really like what we do on defense. And whenever you have two quarterbacks like Dennis Dixon and Gerard Johnson, it makes it easy for us to put together a game plan. So it's a lot of fun. We're having a great time doing it. You know, the whole organization except the AFFL is run really well, and they make it so easy for us to show up and compete and make these transitions from week to week. So they're doing a perfect job of making us comfortable and allowing us to just go out and play the game that we love to play and have fun doing so.
Of course, this U.S. Open of football, you can actually get tickets. And if you are in Indianapolis this Saturday at about 4 o'clock, it's at Butler University. You can get tickets at www.affl.com. That's www.affl.com if you're around there. But, of course, you can watch it on the NFL Network. I tell you the one thing that's going to be the challenge, Godspeed has speed. You know, got gold medal sprinter Michael Johnson there. Of course, Justin Forsett has been a favorite around here for some time. They got some pretty good speed. Jacoby Jones?
They do. You know, and I think that's one of the things, you know, about them is they play a lot to their strengths. And you know, Seneca being the quarterback and the mind of the offense, you can tell some of the things that they were trying to accomplish and, you know, getting, you know, Jason Avant in the seams and things like that and, you know, taking advantage of Javid Best speed and, you know, handing him sweeps and things like that. So we're going to have our hands full and we got some speed on our side of the ball too. So it's going to be a lot of fun and I think we're going to light up the scoreboard this weekend. So it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, you can watch it on the NFL Network, and, of course, if you're in Indy, you can go to www.affl.com, see if you can get some tickets, and it should be a lot of fun. Now, you've had a fun career in the NFL. Let's kind of review it, and also how the running back position has changed since you started in the league and when you retired. I mean, first off, I mean, to be the Buffalo Bill that came, you know, it was a tough way to get in. You had to go NFL Europe. You kind of bounced there, but you really came back and had some great years in Buffalo.
It did, and it was a lot of fun. You know, the people of Buffalo have always shown me a lot of love, and it was easy to play for that organization and that fan base because they really rallied behind their team. And for me, it was easy just to piggyback off of the way that they were there showing their support, and it made me want to do everything I could to go out and, you know, get as many W's as I could for that organization. And you know, it was a long route to get in, but it was definitely worth it once I got there. And once I got there, I wanted to, you know, take advantage of it and stick around and be there for as long as possible. So it just, the hard work just kept coming.
Well, that was a tough part because, I mean, it took until last year, that long stretch, which was the longest in sports, to get back into the playoffs. And, of course, it just happened kind of magically on the last game, last day of the season, when things kind of broke right and the Bills were able to get the tiebreaker to get in. And, of course, it's appreciated out here because once the Bills made the playoffs, then the Seattle Mariners became the franchise in sports that had the longest playoff drought. But how tough is it to, you know, get in there and just wait to try to get into the playoffs and then sometimes just fall short?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely tough. You know, when we play this game, you know, granted we're out having fun and that's what we do it for, but you want to win and you want to be successful, and to go that long without being successful or having the opportunity to go win a championship is definitely something that you know, took its toll on a lot of players and, you know, the fan base. And to be able to get that chip off our shoulder and off their shoulders was, you know, it was awesome. You know, it was great to see the fan base, you know, be excited to get into the postseason. And I think it's just going to, you know, propel those guys further down the road now. I think, you know, they got that monkey off their back. Now they want to, you know, build off of what they did last year. And, you know, I think they have the tools in place, you know, with the coaching staff and the front office. I think they've done some tremendous things thus far, and I'm excited to see what they do down the road and, you know, here in the near future.
When you came into the league, I mean, running backs, you know, you could have 320 carry series. You can get 20 carries a game. That's now changed. I think last year, Le'Veon Bell, who ended up catching like about 80 passes, was the only back that had over 20 carries a game and over 320 carries. It's a different game right now. How's the game changed since you started and where it is now for running backs?
Well, I think one of the main ways that it's changed is you have a bell cow, but he's not taking the whole workload itself. You know, there's two or three guys, you know, on teams, you know, that are all taking their share of the workload. And with that, I think it allows guys to stay fresher and play longer. And they're asking the guys to run a lot of routes out of the backfield. You know, you have to be able to do that now as a running back. And the more you can do that, the more you'll play. And I think another thing that's always been big is pass protecting. You know, now you may have a guy whose specialty is pass protecting and running routes. And then you have a guy that you just feed the ball to, you know, on rushes. So there's a lot of running back by committee going on right now. And guys are specializing in places, and teams are plugging them in those places and plugging guys in different places that they're not as strong in. So I think that's where the running back position is right now. And then you have outliers. You have guys that are great at all three of those phases. Like you said, Le'Veon Bell, a guy that can do all three of those phases well. You know, so he's standing on the field. But I think you have to be able to run routes out of the backfield. You have to pass protect, and you have to be able to run the ball. And if you can do that, you definitely have some success in this league.
But the sad part about it doesn't seem as it should be that the backs are appreciated. I mean, for example, there was only like 9 1,000-yard backs, and people were saying, boy, what's it take to get 1,000 yards? What's 62.5 yards a game? But now, because of all the rotations of the backs and all this situational type things, it's tough just to get 1,000 yards or get enough carries to get over 1,000.
That's just it. You know, a lot of people looking at the yards that a guy had in his season, but you got to look at all the other things that he did. You know, how many, you know, passes did he catch? How many yards did he ever receive? And how many plays did he make in pass protection? I think when you look at the running back position, it's one of the most important positions on the football field. Outside of the quarterback, your running back's going to touch the ball the most and often. So it is a vital part of what you need to get done. And, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, the pay scale doesn't always reflect that on teams. And I think that's what you have to respect about Le'Veon Bell and what he's trying to prove is, look, we are a very important piece to this franchise going places, so we need to be respected and paid as such.
Well, here's one kind of following of stats that I think that you know, probably should be appreciated by both fans and maybe organizations is that I mean, you look what's happened over, because there's a good phase right now of good running backs coming in. I mean, you see Ezekiel Elliott comes in to the Dallas Cowboys. He gains 1,600 yards, and all of a sudden, you know, their point differential goes from like a 30 into like the 140 range, and all of a sudden they win 12 games. You saw the running of Todd Gurley with the Rams and how that accelerated their offense to score 29.9 runs of points a game. Then you go back and you see you know, things like Leonard Fournette going down to Jacksonville, a team that had a great defense and a questionable quarterback in Blake Bortles. He has a 1,000-yard season, and all of a sudden they win the division and go to the AFC Championship game. The big thing is, if you have a good running game, you have the ability to get that run, the point differential, to a point where you know, you can maybe squeeze out a couple extra wins.
That's just it. You know, with a good solid running game, you take a lot of pressure off of a lot of different places in offense. A good running game helps your best receiver. If they have to drop a safety down in the box, it's hard to double team that receiver, and they get chances to make plays down the field, and that also helps your quarterback. So defenses that face a tough running game, you know, have their hands full. You know, whenever there's a great running game, they have their hands full with everybody on the field. So you're going to have a lot more success when you have great running backs. And there's a lot of them out there, so it's going to wash those guys down the road.
Of course, you've been paired up with one both here briefly, but back when he came into the league, Marshawn Lynch, a character, a guy that was a great back. And, you know, he came in at the time that the transition was going, because, you know, you start to see, you know, the backs that came in 2007, 2008. Yeah, Adrian Peterson, you know, was the bell cow in Minnesota. But it's now hard, and it's particularly for a guy like a Marshawn, a guy for a Matt Forte, you know, even Shady McCoy in Buffalo, to get 10,000 yards in a career, because the carries are so limited. But boy, when Marshawn ran, he was tough.
He was. He's always been one of my favorite guys to watch, you know, and not only just during my playing time, but you know, in all of football. You know, he's a guy that he left everything that he had on the field, and he ran like it. And you saw what he was putting on the field, and you saw him putting his heart and soul into what he loved to do, and that's playing football. So it was easy to root for a guy like that, and you know, I'm still rooting for him to this day. You know, I hope he continues to play well, and I hope they get things, you know, figured out in Oakland, and they get a chance to get back to that Super Bowl, and he can get that second Super Bowl ring that he's always wanted.
How surprised were you that, one, he did retire when he did, and then came back after a year?
I wasn't surprised. Just knowing him, you know, it was one of those things where football wasn't always number one in his life, but it was a big part of his life. So for him to walk away when he did, it didn't shock me. And for him to come back knowing that Oakland was leaving and having the opportunity to play in Oakland before they left, again, wasn't a shock, because I know how much he cares for the city of Oakland and what Oakland means to him. So to have that opportunity to go play in Oakland before they leave, it wasn't a shock for me to see him go back to Oakland and give back to them in some form or fashion, just because he's always tried to do whatever he could for the city of Oakland. And, you know, I'm hoping, you know, that they can get things turned around and they can get a chance to go win a Super Bowl out there.
For Marshawn, why did it work out so well here in Seattle and maybe not as well in Buffalo?
You know, I honestly don't know. I think, you know, he just felt more, he never really felt comfortable in Buffalo. And I don't think that's by the fault of anybody in Buffalo or the organization. I think, you know, he was just a West Coast guy that was out in, you know, the East Coast. And I just think he never really got comfortable or made that transition. I think once he got to Seattle, he kind of relaxed more and went back to, you know, having fun like he used to. And I think that helped him get back to playing football the way he loved it. And once he did that, you know, we saw beast mode again. So I don't think it was the fault of anybody on either end. I think, you know, some places you just get and you click, and that's what happened in Seattle. I think he got there, he clicked, and he was able to lead them to a Super Bowl.
What was so unique about him? Is there backs like him? Because I would have to think that, I know one of the thoughts was, particularly when he really started going here, linebackers the night before a game had that little bit of a fear factor, because they knew, one, he was going to be tough to stop, but secondly, he can inflict some pain on you.
When you prepare for Marshawn, you have to prepare for everything. You know, he has the strength to run you over, knock you out of your shoes with a stiff arm. But he's also agile enough, he can make you miss whenever he wants to. So you never know what to bring to the table when you're facing a guy like that, because he has so many weapons in his arsenal. It's hard to prepare for all of them. So, I mean, he gave defensive guys, you know, fits, and, you know, rightfully so. He was a dynamic back, and he was a hard guy to prepare for. So with him, defenses had to be on their P's and Q's, and, you know, they had to rally a lot of guys to the ball. And even if all of y'all got there, or if they all got there at the same time, it wasn't always guaranteed that they were going to get him on the ground.
And then finally, as you look toward the backs that are now starting to emerge, it's a very good running back draft. What do you see happening for running backs in the future in this league?
Well, hopefully, you know, they start getting the respect that they need, you know, or the respect that they deserve. You know, it is a position that, you know, it is the bloodline, you know, like I said, outside of the quarterback, it is the bloodline of an offense. You know, plays run through your running back. You know, they go through, if your running back's having a great game, your offense is probably performing pretty well, because it opens up the playbook when defenses don't have to start preparing for a running game and keeping an extra guy down in that box to help. Then you're opening up your receivers and giving your quarterback a fair chance to make, you know, plays down the field with his arm. So hopefully here in the near future, you know, Le'Veon Bell can get that big deal he wants, and that opens up the market for other running backs, and we continue to show what we're capable of doing, and the NFL starts to see that.
Of course, now you get some money on the line coming up this weekend with the game and, of course, the championship, and the $1 million is going to be on the line on Thursday the 19th. But this weekend in Indy, a chance for you to take on Seneca Wallace and see if you can get that flag football championship going and get some money in your pocket, which is always a good thing.
Always. You know, it's always fun to get out and play this game, and at the end of the day, get a nice little paycheck out of it as well. So hopefully we can go out there, take care of business, and defeat Seneca and those guys with all that Godspeed. So it's going to be a great test for us and one we're looking forward to.
Okay. Hey, Fred Jackson, thanks for joining us on Schooled with the Professor.
Thank you for having me.
And that does it for this week's podcast. In between episodes, you can follow me on Twitter at ClaytonESPN. If you enjoy these weekly one-on-one conversations, consider leaving a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to the show. Thanks for listening. See you next time on Schooled with the Professor.